We're in for a treat. Pastor George and Tondra, not only are they just phenomenal ministers, but very, very dear friends. When I came off the mission field 12 years ago and was leading our Durham site, Pastor George Gregory was the first person I hired. That was one of the best decisions I ever made. Then after that, Eric Cypher, then a few others. But that Pastor George Gregory, who incidentally is from Eastern North Carolina, from the thriving metropolis of Wilson, North Carolina, for those that don't know what's east of Raleigh, and Tondra from the metropolis of Goldsboro. Did I get that right or did I flip it? All right, just invert that, flip that. But anyway, so I knew we were already, you know, I met a brother from another mother. But because there's something about just the culture of Eastern North Carolina. You have to have lived in it to understand it. It's a sociological study. But at any rate, when George came on with us 12 years ago, he was fresh out of divinity school at Duke University and did his undergrad degree at A&T. And so he was over in Durham and came on with our church, and it was just the greatest connection, the greatest man of God and friend. And we were navigating a pretty interesting season during that time. And again, many a man proclaims his own loyalty, but a faithful man who can find. And just got to know this man and love Pastor George and Tondra. They're an incredible, incredible team. Tondra also studied for all the Wolfpack fans here, just so that you'll feel like you're with home folks. She did her master's degree right here at NC State in counseling, isn't that correct? And just as beautiful as can be. But they are truly a 1-2 punch up in New York City. They were sent out of Kings Park, was it 2010, Pastor George? 2008, all right, dear me, 2008. And they pastor our East Side congregation in New York City. New York City used to be on the same level of Japan, being 1% Christian. I mean, how many of y'all know that's a mission field? Now, because of our churches, because of Redeemer, because of Times Square Church with David Wilkerson, and maybe a little bit of Giuliani cleaning things up, but it's now, I think, bumped up to 3%. Is it? It's 3%. Can we rah-rah that from 1%? Come on, to 3%. And no small part because of the Church of Jesus Christ. And they've gone in there and have labored. But anyway, George, I'll let you bring up Tondra. But y'all please welcome my dear friend and amazing minister, Pastor George Gregory from New York City. New York City.
Praise God. Well, good morning. Good morning. Where's my sidekick? Come on up, Tondra, just real quick. She's all shy. She doesn't want to say hello this morning. But I'm going to let her start because I got to work on my tablet real quick. Just say hello.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for having us. We love Pastor Taylor and Elizabeth. They are the purest hearted people I've ever met. Anointed. I mean, and it just sneaks right up on you. It's like, whew, I've been in the presence of the Holy Ghost. So we thank them for having us here. And also, when we pulled up, this is a beautiful place that God has given you guys to worship in. And this is the grace of God on this place. I mean, it is packed out. And I'm excited to see this for them and for you all here in Raleigh. God's all over this, and I'm excited. And worship was awesome, and wow, thank you.
It's great. It's hard to get her started, then it's harder to get her to stop. So... So good to have you guys. I mean, that worship was really good. Thank you so much. And young lady, I want to tell you, you got an anointing on your life. And it's just real sweet. It's not verbose. It's not, you know, you're not trying to show off, but I just can tell just by the way you worship. And I almost had to go outside because I couldn't help myself. That means I was going to do a lap around the building. But I know Taylor runs a dignified service, so I said, I go outside and run my lap. And then immediately after worship, after I had such a great time in worship, I was immediately taken out of the spirit when he talked about the 12 eating 12 donuts. And I thought, man, that sounds good right before I get on a plane. And so it's a pleasure to be here with you. There is no finer man in North Carolina than Taylor Stewart, besides my dad. And, you know, my son, he used to want to be a fireman, like all boys want to be firemen or police officers. And in 9/11, when the towers were falling down, my son, he looked, and as the firemen were running into the building to save people, Jalen, he yelled out, he says, "No, firemen, don't run in the building." And I said, "Son, that's what firemen do. They run into burning buildings." And that just reflected so much on Taylor and Elizabeth Stewart. They were coming into a burning building, and they were running in. And along one of his trips and running in, he grabbed me, and I was crazy enough to run in there with him. And it's been a good road for us here, not only worshiping and serving with Kings Park International Church in Durham, but also being sent to New York City. Great things are happening. To us, marriage and family for us has really taken a great leap. Before I get to that, our Upper East Side congregation is planted, it's thriving. We got a great church that's being planted because of people like you have sown seeds and prayers and just believe beyond all hope that God would raise that 1%. 1%, can you believe that? I mean, can you imagine going to Starbucks or Krispy Kreme saying God is good and people look at you like, what? In New York City, that's what it's like. You know, down here, we say, "How are you doing?" Everybody say, "I'm fine, I'm blessed, I'm highly favored." In New York City, you ask somebody, how are you doing? They say, "How much time do you have?" Because they want to talk. They want to let you know, this is what I'm really going through. And so Pastor Taylor has been so kind and so gracious to invite us. And we were here this weekend. We did a marriage talk with the couples at Kings Park. And it was really a good talk, love and respect. As Pastor Taylor mentioned, we started partnering with some major ministries across the country, just getting some hits. And God is good. Whatever you start out in faith with, it could just be the size of a mustard seed. If you be faithful just to attend whatever he gives you, whether it's your marriage, whether it's a Sunday school group, whether it's a connect group, whatever you have, be faithful and God will open up the doors for you this morning. I see several people that I would love to call by name, but I will not call a lot of names, only one name this morning. I want Cecil to stand up. Cecil with us was with us from the very start. She's a good friend of ours. She was with us at our North Carolina A&T State University, our first Bible study that grew from 2 students to 180 college students almost every Friday night. She was one of those faithful goers, and we wanted to honor her this morning by saying thank you so much for coming from way from Creedmoor, North Carolina. Come on, let's give Cecil a hand. So, Pastor Taylor, how much time do I have? Oh, he's got one more thing to say. Go.
I just thought of all this bragging stuff. One more thing, because he probably won't mention it, but with their marriage ministry, they have had some amazing inroads with the National Football League, with the New York Jets and the New York Giants. They are pulling on him that he's just trying to figure out, how do I do the church, the marriage? It's really happening together as a team. So I didn't know if you were going to mention that or not, but just to give due diligence, just a great, great inroads. How many of y'all know that the NFL, that's like going and penetrating another nation? Y'all realize that? All right, pray for Brady. All right.
Yeah, tremendous things. You know, we are so honored to get invitations to come in and speak to players and teams just about really how to build successful marriages and thriving marriages. We don't want to just be married. We want to have happy marriages. And when you go into these guys, most of them come from fatherless homes, and they just need someone. They got a lot of money, a ton of money, and they don't know what to do with that, but they also don't know what to do with their wives or their kids. And so it's good that the church, everybody say the church, it's good that we can go in and we can be invited to major teams or major things. And that's what we sort of like to model. Wherever God has called you, go. Just be faithful, and he's going to open up some tremendous doors for you. Do you believe that? All right. I know Pastor Taylor a few weeks ago talked about Abraham. I'm going to come back and talk about Abraham, probably, hopefully, from a different take. And if not, just say repeat. No, I'll never do that. In Genesis chapter 12, it says this in verses 1 through 3. It says, "The Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you.'" And this is Abram. This is the Godfather. How many of you have seen that movie, The Godfather? I love that movie. One of my favorite lines in that movie is what? No, I'm going to make you an offer that you cannot refuse. Come on, how many of you seen that movie? How many of you at least can say Godfather? I love the Godfather movie, but Abraham, he was the godfather of our Christian faith. I mean, imagine sitting in the desert and all of a sudden, I mean, you're not asking questions and God starts to talk to you and say, I'm going to make you great. Your name is going to be so widespread. You're going to go to people. You're going to be a blessing to them. And whoever blesses you, I'll bless. Whoever curses you, I'll curse. He had to be thinking, what in the world did I do? He says, man, I remember a distant relative, Noah. He probably read his Facebook status update. Yeah, the Lord told me to go and build a boat in the middle of the desert. And how did that work out for him? And yet God comes back to Abram in a crazy way and says, I'm going to make your name great. And how many have felt like you've heard from God before for you in a specific way in your life? Anybody feel like you have heard from God in a specific way? Or even through the scriptures, you say, well, man, this is my word. How many have a favorite scripture that you can quote right now? I'm not going to ask you to do that. But we should have some words, either through scripture or some word that we get through prophecy or some prophetic ministry that we can stand on and believe that God is going to make us into a people that can go before him and do great exploits. And here Abram was. He says, I'm going to make your name great. Go before me, and I'm going to do certain things. And man, I got to tell you, I probably would have gotten a big head if God would have showed up at my doorstep and say things like, I'm going to make your name great. And man, people are going to love you. And just as far as from the east is to the west, people are going to get saved. And you're going to be known throughout the world. I would probably update my status and say, yeah, this is what God told me to do. I'm going to be the man. And we get these moments where God speaks to us. We come into church and we have these great faith-filled moments, and all of a sudden we go home. Now, this is Genesis chapter 12, 1 through 3, but by the time we get to verse 10, it's a different story. Because sometimes we come to church and we go to conferences and we get high on the mountaintop and we hear from God and we go home, though. And by the time we get home or Monday morning happens, that mountaintop experience isn't so mountaintop anymore. Because now we've got to live it. And so there's certain things about our faith, and I can talk to you about your faith, and I can talk about what God is going to do through your faith, but there's some aspects that I want to talk to you about your faith that we have to face this in reality, and that is this. If there's faith-filled moments, there are faith-killing moments. That's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about faith killers. Faith killers. Have you ever mentioned something to someone and they tried to say something to kill your faith? Say, man, I got a dream, I got a vision, and say, no, it's too hard, you can't do that, or, man, you know what, it's going to take too much money to do that, or you know what, I want to go to school, but you know what, it takes a lot of time, and you can't do that. I love my wife, even when she was going to school at NC State, and I went to Duke, so we got a little rivalry there, but I allowed her to go to Duke, and I kept the kids at night, and what I was saying to her every single day that she went out the door is, you can do it. Because she was a mother. She was a pastor's wife. She didn't have the time to go and do it, but you know what she said? I feel a call of God to do it. And so whatever you feel a call of God to do, go ahead and prepare yourself, because sooner or later you don't know what the opportunities that God is going to fulfill that word that he gave you, that he's going to make your name great. He's going to cause you to do great exploits. And here we are in verses 1 through 3. I mean, he's got his big status update. God's going to make my name great. And faith killer number one is this. It's famine. By the time we get to verse 10, it says now, famine was in verse 10. It says in Genesis chapter 12, verse 10, it says, now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was so severe. Everybody say famine was severe. It was severe. It was famine in the land. Famine means you're hungry. You don't have it. There's scarcity. It's not enough. And how many of you have lived through not enough days? Like you've lived through see nothing days. I mean, you have faith, but you just don't see what you're believing for. Now, I know we're in the inner belt line of Raleigh, and I know there's a lot of resources here. I know there is. But there are moments in all of our life, or even though we might not have been physically hungry or physically have seen a famine, we understand what famine is. We understand what it means to be without that which we need, or we understand to not have enough. We understand that there's some moments in our life that we're not walking in every day where it's flowing with milk and honey, that there's plenty. And Abram found himself even having a vision from God. I'll make your name great. I'll do these great exploits with you. 10 verses later, everybody say 10 verses later. Just 10 verses later. Now famine strikes, and now he's got to go in a different way. Isn't that just like God, though? He doesn't just set us up and say, hey, you're going to do great things without giving us something to test our faith. Has your faith ever been tested? How many of you like when your faith is tested? I can't stand when my faith is tested. I don't like it, but it's kind of like how many of you are new gym members? It's the beginning of the year, right? And I know we all make these New Year's resolutions. And what do we say? Man, this year I'm going to work out more than ever in January. It's not enough just to know you got to work out and exercise. You actually got to go and do the stuff. And faith takes us exercising, right? You ever got on a bench to try to bench press some weight? It's faith is like, it's like when God puts that word on you, that word pushes back on you, and you've got to push it up and let it down. You push it up and let it down. And what you're doing is, for that moment, you won't see great gain. But in a few short weeks when it's beach weather, and then you take off the shirt and you go out there and you flex those muscles and your wife says, hey, what have you been doing? And you start, whoa, yeah, I've been bench pressing. What was happening is God was saying, I'm going to make your name great. Your spiritual body's going to look like this. But right now, he was in famine. There's moments in our life where we hear clearly from God. I mean, we might have a prophetic word. We might have an inclination that God wants to do something great through my small group or through my campus or through my career or through my marriage and whatever it is. And then all of a sudden, 10 verses later, it could be a few months later. It could be a few days. For me, it's just a few minutes. It just seems like time my faith gets high, there's faith killers that come in. And number one is famine. There's sometimes where we just don't have enough. Listen to this. Lack always reveals our heart and character. It always reveals our heart and character. Because when we go through lack, sometimes even in my life, guess what I do? I start panicking. I say, well, Lord, you told me I was going to have this, but what about this? I mean, listen, I don't mind telling you guys this. In New York City, I pay a lot for rent. And we get much smaller space than you get down here. I mean, it's a couple times your rent. And yet there's moments in my life where I know I live in New York City and I love it, but sometimes the rent is due. And I'm trying to figure out, how do I pay upwards of $4,000 per month to do this? And I say, Lord, you called me to do this. Now you've got to help me to pay these bills. But there's sometimes, man, I just don't know how we're going to get it done. But there's moments where God he calls me on the phone and he says, hey, didn't I tell you I was going to provide for you? You see, it's always verses 1-3, but we live through verse 10. When famine hits, what will we do? You see, faith killers, famine comes. Our character is revealed through when famine comes. It reveals our heart and it reveals our character. Listen to what it says about Abram in Romans chapter 4. It says this, Abram believed God to do the impossible. Because what was happening is when you're in famine, you really don't have anything. You don't have anything to eat. And so when we live through see nothing days, Abram tells us about this. He says, Abram believed God to do the impossible. This happened because Abram believed in God who brings the dead back to life. He brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of what? Nothing. Famine means that they didn't have anything. And here he says that Abraham believed God who brings dead things back to life and who all of a sudden raises new things to life. And it says that he creates new things out of nothing. New things out of nothing. How many of you ever felt like, I don't have anything? I don't have what it takes to be a successful husband. I don't have what it takes to be a successful entrepreneur. I don't have the education. I don't have the money. I don't have what it really takes. I've never walked this way before. And God says, you've been set up for me to bless you. Because he says, I can raise people from the dead. I can make new things out of nothing. Our God is the God who stepped out in nothing and he created everything because he just spoke his word. Abraham, it all hinges upon his word. It was just a word from God, a crazy word to say, I will make your name great. If you go before me, I will do certain things. Faith comes, famine comes in the middle of our faith-filled moments. And we say, Lord, I believe you can do this, but what about this? I lack this, I lack that. And sometimes that lack immobilizes us. And it says that Abram believed God, even when there was no hope. Now, even when there was no reason for hope. I love this verse because we can understand that in our life, sometimes it doesn't matter how much we say Jesus. And I love you guys. You carry these big Bibles. We carry these little contraptions like this all around. But there's some moments that it doesn't matter how much you quote the word of God. The lack of faith just speaks to you. Say, oh, man, I know I just came from church. But do you really believe and understand what God is doing in your life? Even when there was no reason to hope, even though there was no reason to hope, Abram kept believing. What did I fly all the way down here from New York City to say is, even when there's no reason to hope, keep on believing. Keep on believing. This is the Godfather. They're quoting about our Godfather. Abraham kept believing that he would become the father of many nations. God said to him, that's how many descendants you will have. Abraham's faith did not weaken. It did not weaken at all, even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb. He still kept believing. In Genesis chapter 12, this is, by the time we get to Genesis chapter 20, 21, it's 25 years later. 25 years later. Can you imagine people going to check his Facebook status and say, hey, what, 25 years ago, you updated your status and said, God's going to do something. How's that working out for you? Even in the face of hopelessness, even in the face of probably ridicule. And are you still believing that God can do this? I mean, some of us were saying, Lord, do you have somebody for me? And God said, yes, I have somebody for you. Do you realize, Lord, it's been 25 years. Abraham believed without hope. Even when there was no reason to hope, he believed. Faith killer number two is this. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 6, it said, Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moriah at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built an altar there before the Lord, and the Lord appeared before him. Faith killer number two is what lies before us. What's right in front of us? Sometimes what we see every single day kills our faith. Sometimes it's the lack of us moving in a certain direction. Sometimes it's our parents. Sometimes it's what people say about our visions and our values, and people don't understand what we're going through. But sometimes what's right in front of us kills our faith. Now, what was right in front of the Israelites is people that we will call ites. Everybody say the ites. It's the Canaanites. In Genesis chapter 15, he goes through a clear list of ites. He says this. He says, on that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said, to your descendants, I will give this land from the Wadi of Egypt and the great river of the Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, the Canaanites, the Kemadites, the Hivites, the Pezites, the Ramaphites, the Amorites, the Mosquitobites, the Canaanites, all the ites. I mean, the list just kept going and going. It's all the ites. And you think, man, the ites are only in the Bible. No, they're not. They're on Wade Avenue. They're in the inner Beltline. How do they get in our life? Because the ites is what stands before you to sort of stare you down in your face and say, you're not going to do what God says you're going to do because you've got to get through me. I want to tell you, in order to get to go through, you've got, in order to get somewhere, you've got to go through places. There's moments in all of our life that your faith is going to be tested. God loves you. Sure, he loves you. God is for you. Sure, he's for you. But there are moments in your life where your faith is going to be tested. I love Jesus. It's in red words in Matthew chapter 6 or Matthew chapter 16, 33. It says that in this world you will have trials and tribulations. Now, who is he talking to? He's talking to his followers. Who follows Jesus in here? Sometimes you're like, man, okay, yeah, I follow Jesus. In this world, you will have trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Anybody in here ever have a trial or a tribulation? Just raise your hand really quick. Just raise your hand. Come on, wave it real quick. Now, just keep it in the air. Come on, just real high. Raise your hand if you're sure. Now, look around. You thought you were the only one. We all have challenges. We all have things that push against our faith. We all have voices inside that say, did you really hear that? I mean, really? Do you really think you can do that? I mean, self-doubt, self-imposed limitations. I eat them for lunch every single day. Jesus says to his people, he says, don't be worried. I've overcome the world. But in this life, you will go through times. But yet, even when your faith is tested, remember my word. Everybody say, remember his word. Remember his word. It was what lied before them. In order for us to get to, we've got to go through something. I love it. In order for me to get here from Pittsburgh, I had to go through a little part of Durham. On our way, we're people on the way. And on the way, we realize that sometimes there's frustration, sometimes there's lack, sometimes there's not provision, sometimes it's just living through see nothing days. Sometimes, let me tell you, can I be honest? Sometimes life is just not fun. Nor is it fair. And yet many times what we have to wake up every day and we've got to put our clothes on, and a part of putting your clothes on is putting on the garment of faith. I love it. Ephesians, it says that we've got certain things to put on. We've got to put on the breastplate of righteousness. We've got to have our feet shod with the preparation of gospel. We've got to put on the shield of what? The shield of what? We got to put on the shield of faith. And you just can't carry it with you. You've got to put up the shield of faith. And what do you put up the shield of faith? To extinguish the fiery darts of who? The enemy. I mean, we thought just coming to church, and this is a nice church too. Taylor, this is a great looking church. But we thought just because we come to this great looking school that the devil is not going to try to take you out. Yes, he will. He throws fiery darts. And God gives us certain tools. It's the shield of faith that we hold up, that shield of faith, that whatever comes to kill your faith, whatever comes to steal that plan that God has for you. For some of us husbands, it's can we stay married faithfully? For some of our wives, it's will we submit to a man of God? Will we really just give God the praise just through following our husbands? For some of our kids, it's do our parents really know what they're talking about? I don't know what it is this morning. Maybe you're a business owner. Maybe you know God told you to open that restaurant and it's just not thriving. Put up that shield of faith. Would you humor me for a second? You guys know I got a lot of drama, right? Just put your shield of faith up. Come on, just put your shield of faith up. God, I love that. Come on, one more time. Just put it down. Put that shield of faith up. I didn't even have this in my notes. Real quick, can you come here since you're so anointed? The Roman shields were unlike the Greek shields. The Greek shields were circular, but the Romans, they knew, because they were fighting men, and they realized that their shields, when they would put their shield up, it only protected this side of their body, just this side, because the other side of their shield protected this side of her body. You see, when I put up my shield of faith, I'm not just protecting me, but I'm protecting my wife or my small group or people, men of God that follow with me. And when I put my shield of faith up, guess what I need for her to do? Put her shield of faith up. And I need, come on over here, sweetheart. You anointed too. Come on real quick. Come on. At the same time, let's put our shield of faith up. Come on. Therefore, no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. Why? It's because it's not just my faith, because I need a community of faith. Everybody say a community of faith. That's why you need to be a part of a church that has a community of faith, that they're praying for you, that they're fasting for you, that they're saying, come to Bible study. Why? It's because when the fiery darts of the enemy come on, let's go. Put up that shield of faith. Why? It's because the devil will try to take you out. But we've got to learn to put up our shields of faith. Come on, ladies. Come on, give them a hand. Come on, give them a hand, ladies. Put up our shield of faith. The ites want to come to destroy you. Now, I don't know what your ite is. Maybe your ite is bad health. Maybe your it is a bad marriage. Maybe your it is a bad attitude. I don't know what it is, but what's staring you down every single day in your face saying you cannot do it, you've got to learn to speak to those ites. You got to be like David and tell him, yeah, I know I'm ruddy. I know I'm small, but guess what? I'm going to slay you. I'm going to cut your head off. You will not steal my joy. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You guys think I'm crazy. C.T. Taylor invited the wrong one. He knew me, though. You see, I got a small New York City apartment, but I walk that apartment. The Word of God says he gives me every place that my foot trods. And in my apartment, I walk my apartment, and I talk to God. I don't talk to my problems. I talk to God. I tell my problems how big my God is. And I walk that floor, and I just say, no weapon formed against me today is going to prosper. I say, man, I am the head and not the tail. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? This side, they're looking a little questionable, but do you know what I'm talking about? I walk that floor, and I say, Lord, I'm blessed in the city, and I'm blessed in the field. I'm blessed where I come and when I go. Sometimes I look at those problems, I get them all, and I name debt, I name frustration, I can't get in this team, this person doesn't like me, and I just put them all there, and I say, ites, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You will not hinder me. Why? They talk to me. Why not talk back to them? When I was a little small boy, I was so skinny, they used to call me Newport. Just that skinny. Now, if you marry a good wife that can cook, I ain't skinny anymore. But I was so skinny that the boys used to pick on me. Oh, they used to pick at my teeth. They used to pick at my pimples. They used to pick at how skinny I was. And they used to push me around until one day, something rose up inside of me. And they pushed me one time too many, Wayne. And I said, I will kill you. And I saw those guys just start backing away. Whoa, that's right, I'll kill you. Now, what I didn't know, what I thought it was my words, behind me was my big brother coming with his boys. You see, you think you're fighting the ites by yourself? I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me go to the next one, and then I'll preach that point right there. Fear is a faith killer. How do I know fear is a faith killer? Because it's in the Bible. Watch this, Genesis. Genesis chapter 15. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. 3 chapters later, probably several years later, I think it maybe been 12 years now, you're going to have a baby. He doesn't have a son. He says, through your seed, I'm gonna call everyone blessed. It's going to bless the whole world. 12 years later, there's still no son. There's still no seed. And here's God still talking to Abram. He says this. He says, after the word of the Lord came to Abram in the vision, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield and your very reward. Now, why do you think he says, don't be afraid? Because he knows that we're going to be afraid. I mean, the word of God is really very practical. I mean, there's so many scriptures where it says, fear not, for I am with you. I love it when he tells Joshua in chapter 1, or maybe it's chapter 3. He says, the same way I was with Moses is the same way I'm going to be with you. Don't be afraid. Go. I'm with you. When you get up tomorrow morning, guess what? Say, God is with me. You've got to say it because he's saying right here. He says, listen, I am your shield. I am your great reward. He says, do not be afraid. This is what the word, after this, the word of the Lord came to him. Do not be afraid. I am your shield. I am your very great reward. How many of you know that in Hebrews chapter 11, it says this, and without faith, it is impossible. It is impossible to please God. Now, I know some of us are smart, and we want to test this scripture to see if it's actually true, but I want to tell you, God is smarter than we are. He says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, but they must know this, that he is a rewarder. Everybody say a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Do you believe God is a rewarder? I mean, really, do you believe he's a rewarder? I love this because there's something tangible about when I'm not full of fear that God gives me what's in my, it's called faith. He says, Abram, don't be afraid. I am with you. I am your shield and your very great reward. A few minutes ago, we sung that song, and this is where I got choked up. They said in this song just a few seconds ago, they said, because you're with me. Gosh, do you understand what we were singing? Because you're with me, I will not fear. I want to sing that song after church. I do. I played in the car on my way to the airport. Because you're with me, I will not fear. I'm telling you, when they started singing this one verse, you all just faded. I was in a room with God all by myself, and I would start thinking about all of those days where my faith killers were talking to me. You're an African American young man from the South. You can never do it big on the Upper East Side of New York City. It's a predominantly Jewish neighborhood. I don't have a lot of money, and I don't know how I live in a 3-bedroom apartment like George Jefferson, a deluxe apartment in the sky. But there's something about our great God. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But there's moments where I've got to talk back to my heights, and I've got to say, I will not fear, not because my big brother is in the background, but because God is with me. Is anybody with me this morning? Do you have that tenacious faith to say whatever lies in front of me, that's okay. Put it in front of you and just sing to it. Because you are with me, God, I will not fear. I will not fear. Although I'm going through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear. Although I'm living through see nothing days, I will not fear. Although my marriage is on the rocks, I will not fear. Why? It's because you are with me. And somewhere I read this. That God, when he's with me, he's more. Hold on, Taylor. No. God. Say it again. He's more than the whole world is against you. That's what I was thinking about. Thank you. That's why you got to help me. Because he's for me, he's more than the whole world is against me. Do you realize what we can do with just you and God? But what more could you do with you and a tenacious group of believers called Kings Park Raleigh, fighting for you, praying for you? I know you got a praying pastor. Oh, he's a tenacious prayer warrior. If you don't know your pastor, come up to him today. Give him 10 prayer requests because he will pray for you. He'll fast for you. Faith sometimes is killed by fear. Then lastly, barrenness. Sometimes one of our faith killers is barrenness. Genesis chapter 15, it says, But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can I get? What can you give me? Isn't that sometimes our prayer start? Hey, Lord, what can you do for me? Because I still remain childless. You remember that prayer you told? You remember that promise you promised me so many years ago? I still don't have it. And sometimes we keep these CDs with prophetic words up there, or we keep stuff in our Bibles, and we say, Lord, I remember you said this, but I believe that season is past, and it did not come to true. This it didn't come to pass. This is what Abram was saying. Abram said, Lord, I got my prophetic tapes. Lord, I remember what you told me in this conference, but you know what? I still don't have it. Now, what can you do for me? Watch this. He says, the only one do I have to inherit my estate is Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, you have not given me a child. He said it again, Lord, you have not given me any children. He's just telling him, Lord, remember me. You didn't give me anything just yet. So my servant Eleazar probably will take and be the heir of my household. We know that was a bad idea. Genesis 15:6 says this, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Because there's sometimes we still have to proclaim what God says to us. We just got to tell him what he said. Did you hear what I said? Sometimes we have to tell God what he said. We got to go back and get it right. Say, Lord, didn't you say certain things? I ask God all the time, Lord, didn't you say you would supply all of my needs according to your riches and glory? Now, I know what I have in the bank, but, Lord, I don't believe what I have in the bank. I believe what you tell me. I believe, Lord. And that's what he's getting to. Sometimes our faith killers is trying not to get us to believe what God is saying to us. Now, here's what he says. He says, even though he was on his way, he was still in process. He was still processing. How is this going to happen? 7 and 8, he says this. He says, I am the Lord your God. This is what God was saying to him. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Ur to give you this land to take possession of it. But Abraham said, Sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain it? God was saying, I'm going to give it to you. But he's speaking. He's still having a conversation. God, but how do I know? I know what you said, but how do I know? Lord, I know what you said, but how do I know? I know what Pastor Taylor says, but how do we know? Sometimes it goes all the way back to that word. Lord, this is what you said. There's moments in my life where I live through see nothing days. There's moments in my life where I'm trying to figure out, are people really going to come back to church on the Upper East Side of New York City? Do they like me? Do they feel like I'm inspirational? Our team's going to call us? Will people listen to our marriage advice? Will things happen? And you know what? I have to go right back to that word of God. I have to go back to that word of God. And I say, you know what? This is not my idea. This is God's idea. My goodness. Don't you know sometimes I'll talk myself out of what God wants me to do. Oh man, you're too black. They won't listen to you. Man, you spit in the microphone when you preach every now and then. Oh man, they won't understand a word you're saying. And I'm just talking myself out of going. I love Moses. Moses said, Lord, you know I can't talk. Lord, who am I that I go before Pharaoh? Lord, I can't speak. What? I don't have anything to go. And he says, Lord, please send someone else. Sometimes we talk ourselves out of going. We got to talk ourselves into going. I love it. The Great Commission, it says, go ye therefore. Now, most of us, including myself, we say, we think it's stop. We think it's stop. Oh, Lord, we pray, Lord, Lord, tell me to go if you want me to go. He says, he's already said go. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's our faith. Go. But we praying for the word. Lord, tell me to go. Give me a word to go. He's already given you the word to go. We need a word to stop. When I wake up every single day, I pray this prayer. Lord, don't let me do the things that I was supposed to do yesterday. Let me be a man and do the things that I'm supposed to do today. Because I want to be in tune, not with yesterday's manna, but with today's grace. Faith killers. Sometimes we have faith killer of famine, where we believe in God for so much, but we see so little. Sometimes we have the faith killer of the ites. What's right before us is clearly, it's right there. We can't deny it. We can't say it's not there, or people are going to think we're crazy. And yet there's sometimes we kind of got to, We cannot believe what we see. We have to see what we believe. We can't believe what we see all the time. Sometimes we gotta see what we believe internally. We gotta say, you know what? I see this thing so clearly. I see it so clearly. Sometimes it's fear. Sometimes it's barrenness. I don't know what you're facing in your life. But if you'd love for me to pray for you for any one of those areas, why don't you stand to your feet just really quick? If it's fear, if it's famine, if it's something that's standing before you, that's looking you down, that's every day just taunting you, saying, don't get back up. Don't have faith for it. Don't fight for it. I just want to pray for you. Maybe you know God has called you to birth something, but as much as you have faith for it to birth it, you're still not pregnant with it. You still haven't birthed it. I don't know. Maybe that is the word of the Lord for someone. Maybe it's you. You've been infertile for years, but God might want to touch you this morning. Whatever it is, just believe in faith. Praise you, God. Praise you, Lord. Lord, I stand up first. First, I'm the first one standing this morning, praying on behalf of these people, understanding that the faith walk is not hype. The faith walk is real. And understand sometimes faith killers comes of fear, of barrenness, of what lies before us, of famine, but understanding that you've called us to be people of faith. So, Lord, I just pray for these people, and I ask God that you would stir up faith in them. Let God arise and their enemies be scattered. I pray no weapon formed against them should prosper.
I pray, God, that you're so good that he that hath begun a good thing is able to complete it in their life. You're able to bring things to pass. We will not fear because you're with us. Lord, I pray, be with them in their problem. Be with them in their pain. Be with them in their suffering. Lord, I pray, Father, the same way Abraham believed you and it was credited to him as righteousness. I pray that the faith level is arising in these people's lives in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray, Father, that you would take days of quicksand walking, feeling like we're walking in quicksand, and let us get on that speedy highway to doing great exploits. Lord, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will help us, help every husband that's standing on their feet, Lord. Help every mom that's standing on their feet, Lord. Help every business person, every single, every couple, Lord. I pray, Father God, for even everyone that's here that's under the sound of my voice, whether you're standing or not standing. Lord, I pray, Lord, that our faith, Lord God, is going to be greater than our fears, greater than our famine, greater than our barrenness. Lord, I pray that you would blow the hinges off the doors of 2015, whatever is holding us back, Lord, I pray. Let's let it go. Let's believe that the doors of God's grace, the exceeding and abundant things that we ask for or think he says, I will give it to you. Lord, I pray for supernatural faith to believe, even when we don't see it, even when there's lack in the house, even when we're not pregnant or we're not bearing or we're not producing what you want us to produce, even when fear is looking at us in the face, Lord, we choose to believe. We say, yes, Lord. Come on, if you believe this prayer, say, yes, Lord. We say, yes, Lord. We say, yes, Lord. And amen. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. God bless you.